Last year, pianist Ilya Yakushev was here in Las Cruces performing Prokofiev and Mendelssohn. He was immediately re-engaged by Lonnie Klein to perform with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra again, and this weekend he'll be playing Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. It's my pleasure to welcome back Ilya Yakushev.
Thank you for having me.
And Lonnie Klein, artistic director of the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. So, Ilya Yakushev, there's a story attached to the piano concerto number 2 of Rachmaninoff. He was very depressed. He had premiered his first symphony to rather terrible reviews, and there's various stories that go along with that. Alexander Glazunov was conducting, and he may have been exceedingly inebriated. But there were other reasons that he was depressed, and he couldn't, I think there were obstacles in the way of his marriage to his fiancée, and he went into this three-year depression and writer's block. And tell us what then happened.
Well, then Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto Number 2 happened, which is probably one of the biggest events in a piano repertoire.
But he went to visit a hypnotherapist.
Right, and his friend Nikolai Dahl, that's the name of the doctor who got him out of that state of depression. The concerto is actually dedicated to him, because thanks to him, Rachmaninoff recovered from that depression and recovered pretty well, considering that the first piece he wrote after that long period of depression was his second piano concerto, which then and now still remains to be probably his most famous work.
It's a gorgeous work, and it starts with a really big chord, sort of dark. It feels dark at the beginning, although then it goes into usual Rachmaninoff beauty. Tell me, does it add anything or subtract to know a story like that when you're preparing a piece of music? And also, does it add or subtract for the audience?
Honestly, when I read that story before I started to learn that concerto, it didn't really add anything to the process of my learning the piece. But it's always very useful, and I always encourage people that ask me questions like that, if they are interested in learning a certain piece, to actually read about the piece, to know the facts, interesting facts at least, about the piece that they're about to start learning. It's always very helpful to know where composer was at the time when he was composing, where in his life the composer was when he was composing the piece. It's important. It's a little history lesson there right before you start learning the piece, and I always do that every time I pick up a new score.
Yeah, I mean, my study of music, it was really required that I learn a little bit about not just the composer, the history of the time, what was happening in the country. Lonnie Klein is with us too. What are your thoughts about that, Lonnie, in terms of really knowing the context? The music can stand on its own. You can know nothing about it and still find it beautiful. But how does it deepen it to know the whole context in which it emerged?
Well, I think certainly events in one's life, a marriage or financial issues like Mozart, Beethoven's dealings with his nephew, and of course not getting along with the publishers, and of course going deaf. I think all those factors, influence a composer, and certainly we need, and you're absolutely right, I study the background of a piece and how it was written, why it was written, who it was dedicated to, and in this case, Rock 2, dedicated to the doctor that did pull him out of depression, and actually hypnosis back then. It was interesting that it worked. Anything that you can glean insight into a composer's background and history and how it was composed or why it was composed and who it's dedicated to and what kind of mental state they're in, I think it really does help. But ironically, when you look back at Mozart's greatest works, Chipper and Happy, we'd never know that he was going to die early at 32 years old, that he had some severe financial problems. It never comes up in his music except the Requiem, when he was dying and trying to write that before his death.
And obviously, it was he was very young, so writing it before a very early death. So let's talk a little bit more about Rachmaninoff. And he went to the St. Petersburg Rimsky-Korsakov Conservatory.
That's
so
correct.
Did you.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure and honor of visiting Russia several years ago. To me, it was a little awesome to walk through the conservatories, both in Moscow and the Rimsky-Korsakov Conservatory in St. Petersburg. Did you ever, as a student there, have this feeling that, you know, these halls, maybe this table, you know, was touched by these people, or maybe they were struggling with the same passage of Bach or Beethoven in this same studio? Did you ever have that feeling that you were following in these big footsteps?
Well, first of all, I want to be honest and say that I actually did not go to that conservatory. I studied at the college that is right next to the conservatory, and when the kids finish the college I went to, they usually continue on at the conservatory. I had a choice of doing that or going overseas. And my parents actually encouraged me to start thinking about applying for other conservatories outside of Russia.
And so then you went to Manus.
That's how I ended up at Manus, right. I played auditions in four schools, and all four accepted me, luckily. And I had a very nice situation where I could actually choose which place I could go to. And I think I told you that story last time.
Yeah, you stayed at Manus.
So I decided to go to Manus, right, and that was probably the right choice.
Well, that's also a school that has...
Any school has a lot of history.
Any
good school has a lot of history. And I did walk through conservatory several times. Actually, my very first recording was done at the conservatory, because that was one of the two places in the city where you could record your playing. And I remember myself doing it when I was, I think, only 12 or 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And of course, whatever you just said happens every place where the great people set their feet, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it doesn't only happen at the conservatories, it happens everywhere you go.
Concert halls everywhere.
Concert halls, cathedrals, churches, every place you go, museums, palaces, and so forth and so on. So, of course, the walls have seen a lot, and you feel that that information that space owns. There's a DVD that I produced about 4 years ago, and that was recorded at one of the biggest cathedrals in St. Petersburg, which was actually used as a main office of one of the military marshals, and his name is Zhukov. And whoever knows history, they know that he is probably the man that is considered to be the winner of the Second World War. In the basement of that cathedral was his main office, his was main quarters. And I was recording right above there. Mm. And I know that there were a lot of people killed in that basement right below the place where I was playing the piano many, many years later. So there are good and bad memories about every place, and there are sad and happy events that took place every place you go, basically. But at the St. Petersburg Conservatory, you, of course, feel a spirit of all these old and great musicians and composers and conductors that walked in those corridors and studied or taught in those studios.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Prokofiev. We talked a lot about him last year, but he's also on the program with this concert. And boy, Prokofiev and Rachmaninoff, both fantastic careers as pianists. Both, Rachmaninoff settled in the United States. Prokofiev traveled here a great deal. Not that different in age, 15 or 18 years or something different, but wow, they're really different in terms of their music.
Yeah, that's what we were actually discussing yesterday at my luncheon. 20th century composers, both worked in America, yet their music is so different. I think Rachmaninoff's really a throwback to the 19th century Romanticism. And Prokofiev, of course, is tonal and melodic and lots of nice harmonies. But he's, you know, I think he was influenced by his years that he spent in Paris, listening to the works of Satie and Poulenc. And he's just got that sort of witty, satirical writing that is so different than Rachmaninoff. So you're going to hear, as you said, two composers, Russian composers, 20th century, But their music is really, really different. Wouldn't you agree, Ilya?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with you that Rachmaninoff is definitely a throwback to the 19th century. There's nothing 20th century about that guy, in my humble opinion.
Even, you know, he was raised to be sort of a member of the aristocracy, even though his family didn't have that much money after a while. And so when he came here, I was reading, you know, he tried to recreate a Russian household with Russian servants.
He did.
Yeah.
He tried very hard. We know that from books, pictures, videos that are still out there available for us to see. And he really, I think, wanted to go back to Russia. Mm-hmm. He missed Russia. Mm-hmm. Not only because he was trying to create that Russian household here in the United States at his house, but because he also, the people say that Rachmaninoff, once he moved to the States, composed only 6 works because he was very busy as a pianist. I think it was because he wasn't as inspired as a composer here because he was missing his homeland so much. And I think the same thing actually happened to Prokofiev because mm-hmm. Prokofiev actually ended up moving back to the Soviet Union in the early 30s after going every place there is, including Japan, actually. And mm-hmm. you can only imagine how difficult it was back then to travel that far to play concerts and to tour and mm-hmm. to perform. And Prokofiev decided that he would move to the Soviet Union in the 30s, which was a big mistake. We all know that. His wife got arrested right away because she was of Spanish descent. And he didn't get along with the party. And he had a lot of trouble with government. And his last days were just very sad. And he died on the same day as Joseph Stalin did. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is not a good thing because nobody noticed his passing.
Yes,
so very, very sad ending of his life. Rachmaninoff had a happier ending to his life, but I think he missed Russia very much. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. He left behind some piano rolls with himself performing the second piano concerto. Have you heard Rachmaninoff's recording?
Well, there are actually...
I think maybe just one movement survived.
No, there are recordings of him doing all 5 pieces.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, with Ormandy in Philadelphia, I believe, mm-hmm. that's uh-huh. the recording that is available and you can hear it. Surprisingly, every time I listen to those recordings, I catch myself thinking that he himself did not recognize a lot of beauty that he himself composed in mm-hmm. those pieces. I think he could take a lot more time in some places. I think he could, you know, make those places that I would play differently a little bit more interesting sounding. But I might be wrong. People say that if you have that kind of a record of a composer doing his own piece, you should follow what he has done in that recording, because he knew what this piece was all about. He knew the plan in that piece. But I don't agree with that recording. It's of course as great as a reference, but I can say that Rachmaninoff's recordings of his own piano concertos are my favorite recordings.
You know, you're not the first person. I've read a few pianists who have said this, and I think that it's a mistake to think that a composer's performance of a work is the definitive performance, because in fact many times writers, artists, musicians say all the time that somebody else will see something that they
from the outside absolutely
that they weren't totally aware.
I've got recordings of Copland doing Appalachian Spring conducting, and he's not even following what he wrote.
We could go on, but our time is up. Thank you, Ilya Yakushev and Lonnie Klein, for joining us again today.
Thank you, Leora.
The concerts are tomorrow night at 7:30, Sunday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. Music of Rachmaninoff and Prokofiev. Ilya Yakushev performing with Lonnie Klein and the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Thanks for joining me today. Have a great weekend. Stay with us on KRWG Las Cruces, KRXG Silver City.